Dr. Thomason, why is language so powerful?
You can't get along without it. Everybody uses it, and people have probably used it since the dawn of humankind to persuade people to do things. I think the political activists who work on teaching politicians how to, you know, how to use words, that is, use these words, they will persuade. Part of the goal has to be to get them accustomed to using those words in the right context so that when somebody asks a question that pertains to that, it triggers that response and they say, yes, class warfare or whatever.
As a linguist, when you look at this from a research standpoint, is there a way to predict human response to words?
If you narrow it down to a particular kind of context, it's not difficult at all. I mean, whoever had the brilliant idea in just the last few days of referring to President Obama's economic plan as class warfare did an excellent job of predicting how people would react to that. People don't like the idea of class warfare. That's predictable. That is, people who look at polls can predict how people are going to react to these very negative phrases, and so could you. I mean, you don't have to be a linguist to know about these very emotionally loaded words.
So when we hear these phrases, you talked about class warfare. What's the emotional response when we hear that phrase?
Oh, my God, we've got to stop that. We don't want anything like that. This can't be a good policy. Class warfare is horrible. If you're in favor of the policy that the president is proposing, you'd think that's a cheap shot. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on your politics. But the phrase itself evokes bad things. That is, nobody is in favor of class warfare, or if they are, they're certainly not going to admit it right out loud.
You say you don't have to be a linguist to predict how people are going to respond. And yet we find ourselves being driven in one emotional direction or another. Is there a way to inoculate ourselves and think things through more logically?
Sure, to look at the structure of the argument rather than the words in which it's couched. That's the way to get through the words that are loaded to the message. But most people don't do that. Most people don't think analytically. They react emotionally.
I want to talk about one phrase that we hear a lot from all political ideologies, the American people. We hear a lot about what the American people want. Now, on some level, we know the American people don't share one collective political identity. So how does the use of a phrase like that affect how we respond to an issue?
Actually, there, it really depends on the audience. With the American people, it's harder to pin down because nobody, of course, would admit to thinking of just one particular subset. But there are terms like pro-family that mean very different things. To conservatives, you're talking about pro-life, anti-gay marriage. To liberals, you're talking about social health care, gay rights. Totally different conception, but the same pro-family. They're both, in their own minds, pro-family. They're not lying to anybody, but their audiences are interpreting the phrase in very different ways, and so are the speakers.
When we listen to political language, are we overwhelmed by the language, or is it more that we're listening for the things we want to hear?
You do tend to hear what you want to hear from the people you like and from the people you dislike, but you're also influenced by the words they use, the tense of the verb they use, without realizing it. And that's very hard to combat.
Dr. Thomason, thank you very much.
Thank you.